Last month, we heard how King Ahaz of Judah and his army was defeated by the king of Israel and his army. A terrible defeat. 120,000 soldiers killed. 200,000 captives taken from battle to Samaria, the capital of the king of Israel. Certainly the future did not look bright for these 200,000 captives. But then something surprising happened. This is what we read in 2 Chronicles chapter 28. A prophet of the Lord, Oded, went out before the army that came to Samaria and said to them, "Look, because the Lord God of your fathers was angry with Judah, he has delivered them into your hand. But you have killed them in a rage that reaches up to heaven. And now you propose to force the children of Judah and Jerusalem to be your male and female slaves. But are you not also guilty before the Lord your God? Now hear me, therefore, and return the captives, whom you have taken captive from your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." We need to remember that after the death of Solomon, the kingdom was divided into the north, the kingdom of Israel, and the south, the kingdom of Judah. Kingdom of Israel, capital Samaria. Kingdom of Judah, capital Jerusalem. And yet both of these kingdoms supposedly served the same Lord God, the God of their ancestors who had delivered them from slavery in Egypt under Moses. But now both kingdoms had turned away from the Lord. The kingdom of Israel had no God-fearing kings, and right from the start, the kings did not permit them to go to Jerusalem to worship the Lord in the way God had prescribed, set up other places of worship. Besides that, the kings of Israel had introduced the worship of Baal and other idols. And now in the south, the king was Ahaz, and he had taken all that idolatry and Baal worship from Israel in the north and introduced it into the south. Even though they had the right worship of God yet, they still worshiped the Lord in Jerusalem. They had all of this idolatry. So both kingdoms had turned away from God. And that's why God allowed the kingdom of Israel to come down and defeat the kingdom of Judah, kill 120,000 soldiers in a single battle, and take 200,000 captives. You see, this is the way God very often works things out. He lets one sinful nation defeat another sinful nation as a judgment on the first. But both are sinful. But this time, Israel had gone too far. They had subjected 200,000 men, women, children to be their slaves. Now they were all supposed to be related peoples, supposedly worshiping the same God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now one of these kingdoms was about to enslave the other one. So that's when God stepped in, sending his prophet Oded to make them realize what they were doing. So Oded said Israel was just as guilty as Judah. And now if they kept these captives and enslaved them, the fierce wrath of the Lord would be on them. So the prophet said, "Return the captives whom you have taken from your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you." And now another surprising thing happened. The people actually listened to the prophet of God, even though they were from Israel. Four leaders from Israel stood up. And they said to their own army, "You shall not bring the captives here, for we already have offended the Lord. You intend to add to our sins and to our guilt, for our guilt is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel." So these 200,000 captives were released. And these four men, together with some of the people, rose up and took the captives, and from the spoil they clothed all who were naked among them, dressed them and gave them sandals, gave them food and drink, and anointed them. And they let all the feeble ones ride on donkeys. So they brought them to their brethren at Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then they returned to Samaria. Now just think of what they did. Today we call such generous actions humanitarian. But just think what they were doing here in obedience to the prophet's words. Finding clothes for 200,000 people of all ages. No doubt digging through the spoil. Digging through all those goods to find clothing and sandals for all of them. And then, imagine feeding 200,000 people, gathering enough food and drink for them. And then not only that, but anointing them, that is taking care of their wounds, giving them the proper medicine, and then escorting them back to their own kingdom, making sure that the feeble among them would not have to walk but could ride on donkeys. That is what they did. They were the original good Samaritans who helped their people in need. And now what about today? You know, there are a lot of things going on in the world that are not good. Disasters, natural disasters, but also fighting, wars, many refugees, many people having to leave their homes for one reason or another. And all of these situations provide opportunities for responses from God's people like those Samaritans. Wounded, people maimed, crippled, people hurt in battle, people without homes, people needing food, drink, and shelter. And these Samaritans did just those things. Now the Apostle Paul wrote to the Galatians, and this is for us too, that we should follow their example. He says, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." So as God has loved us and has given us a Savior to take away our sins, so now we ought to show our love to others and serve them whenever there is an opportunity to do so. May God help us in this very way. Amen. We sing hymn 842, the first two stanzas.